Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Round two in the books here in the NRL. It's JT here for the Sunday Wrap. Unfortunately, doing it solo this time around. So I've had Lakey lined up. I had Wennen lined up. They both had too big of a weekend by the sounds there. Did see Wennen on the dance floor in Fortitude Valley, Brisbane on Friday night. I can only imagine he's still in bed based on the way some of those moves were going. But nonetheless, I'm here to talk you through all the ins and outs, all the happenings, all the goings on of a pretty wet old round in both Supercoach and the NRL. It's not quite the 1,200 plus, 1,300 plus that was in round one. Surely that couldn't be kept up for too long. It was torrential rain across pretty much every game of the round, barring maybe that Townsville game there. So hopefully you came out pretty well unscathed. Hopefully for your own sake, you're keeping dry, you're keeping safe, everything all going well for you. You've been able to enjoy some footy over the weekend. As we said, not a big round of scoring here. It's been a bit of a crashing back to reality for a few teams. Thankfully for myself, scraped over the 1,000 mark there, 1027, 1027 before any updates. Actually had a quick look there, no updates as we've gone to air here at, 9:18 p.m. Brisbane time here. So absolutely no game has been updated. I'm sure they will come flooding in as I'm doing the podcast here. But for now, 1027 is where I've landed. Happily enough with that. Wasn't looking great. I think I was on maybe 550 something coming out of Saturday night's game. So thankfully, Roosters put the Tigers to the sword today. Simonson scored a little bit in the last game of the round there against the Sharks. So bumped me over that 1,000 mark. Thankfully enough for that, because otherwise it was looking pretty dicey. Having a quick look over the leagues that I'm in there, looks to be the 1050 mark is where a lot of people have landed. So I'm a little bit under par there, I suspect. 1100 would get you pretty much up the top end of your leagues there, having a quick look around the 10 head-to-head leagues that I'm in there. So who knows with updates, so I could jump to that 1200 mark. I know it did last week before updates. I was sitting on about this score here, and then everything just sort of cascaded in there, updates left, right, and center. So hopefully they found some tackles. Hopefully they credit my boy Morgo with a line break. I thought he should have had one, but they didn't give it to him. But hopefully they're kind on updates nonetheless there. So everyone going pretty well. If I have a quick look at the Young Legends League, I did see Joe Fitz. He was up and flying. He's with the SC Champions podcast these days, but still part of the Young Legends League there. He was flying there. Copes, he's doing pretty well, 1087 this week. Catfish, Wilf, he's flying, 24-1-3. He's third in our league here. A few of the other guys, and Kirkup, he's up the top as well there. Wennen, he's just been edged out. He's 30 points behind. If I scroll all the way down, I'm back in 13th out of 20 for a few of the SC Tour contributors, a few of the Daily Telly riders as well. So it's I'd like to say a hotly contested league, but unfortunately find myself in the bottom end of that. As does my NRL team, but nonetheless, we'll move on. Let's go. Rocker, flopper, shocker of the week here. The fan favourite, as my mate Timmy called it last week. Rocker of the week. Yeah, that radio station that rocks the footy, as Timmy said as well. Rock of the week. Well, it's not James Tedesco, despite another ton here. It's his teammate Luke Keary, 132 points, rattling off the stats. He 4 try assists, try contributions. Jeez, could have had 5. 22 tackles and no misses. He's a skinny guy, so the fact he's managed to hold on to all those tackles is a great sign for him. 2 tackle busts, 2 offloads, 2 line breaks, 3 line break assists. I think he had 4 runs in the end, 4 actual hit-ups. So the fact he's managed to do all of that with barely running the ball into the opposition line is pretty incredible stuff there. So Luke Keary, doesn't matter who in the Roosters, it seems like every week there's just going to be someone who's going to ton up from them. It's a scary proposition for any opposition coming up there against those guys. But the Chooks, even despite all the injuries, despite all the outs that they've got there, the fact that they can still put teams to the sword the way that they've done is frightening for basically everyone else in the competition there. They are definitely looking up and ready for another crack at the title for this year. Flopper of the week. Boo hiss indeed here. Charlie Staines, he's in about 50%+ of all of our teams here, and he's gone very, very under yet again here. 11 points before updates, so couldn't get the ball in his hand. 9 runs all game. It's very criminally low. For a guy in this Panthers side, it's sort of like being given keys to a Ferrari, but all they open is the effing boot. You can't actually get this thing out and drive it around at all. He's in that side. This Penrith side, again, like the Roosters, they're just starting the year on fire, and he's nowhere to be seen. For whatever reason, Jerome Luai is not on his side, and they seem to be favouring that Luai-Crichton-To'o combination. So Charlie Staines, he's just basically catching a cold out on that wing there. So he's just he's got a long way to go in his career, obviously. He's starting out fresh. Obviously, last year he was very hot when he started. He got 6 tries in 2 games, all that. We had all that in our mindset coming into the year. Everyone basically had him in their side. He was a key into this Penrith side, a cheap guy. And for whatever reason, he's going to lose a lot of cash here. So hopefully, with a bit of confidence and a bit more ball out that side, he'll bounce back from that. But Charlie Staines, geez, everyone's playing him week to week, 17 in their 17, and he's just not delivering. Shocker of the week. This is incredible stuff. Ben Hunt. Who would have thought we'd be talking about this guy as a potential option in Supercoach? Despite all the drama, all the history with this guy, it's actually quite good to see that he is bouncing back, and he's got a bit of a smile on his face as well. He's had a torrid old time of it since that ill-fated 2015 Golden Point kickoff, but 114 points for him against that very team, against my team, the Cows. Not great stuff for them. Didn't throw up a hell of a lot of defense on our line there, but Ben Hunt was absolutely tearing us to shreds in that first half there. So many line break assists. He scored for himself in the second half as well. An easy looking try there, but eyes up footy. He's playing. He's just running the ball. He looks good. Available at hooker and in halfback. So not a lot of people would have this guy in. He's very much one of those draft propositions. You're sort of desperate for a halfback and you pick this guy, and who knows, he's gone 74 and 114, so he's definitely started the year with a bit of a bang. So Ben Hunt, did not imagine we'd be talking about him. Shocker of the week, but who knows, maybe he'll be a rocker because we've all got him in our sides after a few more rounds there. But for whatever reason, he absolutely towed up against the Cowboys there. So horrible for me to watch, but for Ben Hunt, good on you, son. Let's go through the injuries and the suspension news coming out of today. Well, if we start with the suspension list here, it's quite an extensive one. I always forget that it's a double. JT, you got to remember that shit, mate. The suspension news coming out of today. Quite a bit on the charge list here. So firstly, DWZ, he's been cited for a careless high tackle. He's out 2 weeks with an early guilty plea, 3 if he goes to the judiciary and fails. Kyle Felt last night as well. He put on 2 pretty... Well, they were good shots, but unfortunately in this day and age, whenever you go over the horizontal, it's looked upon pretty unfavorably. So he is looking at a 2 to 3 week suspension as well. JTB, to Noah Brown for the Warriors, crusher tackle, a nasty one here. Because he's got prior loading, he's got 4 weeks, regardless of whether he lodges an early guilty plea or not. Phoenix Crossland, same game, same result. Crusher tackle, 3 to 4 weeks for him. And Felice Kafusi, this was a nasty one against Matto. He's been... Well, he killed us for Supercoach there. Poor Matto, he has a horrible run with concussion in his pretty short career at the moment, but didn't look in a good way here, and he's woken up with a headache as well. Felice Kaufusi for that gets a dangerous contact charge, 2 to 3 weeks. A lot of people saying he should have been sent off. Really sin-binned in the game there. It wasn't a good look, but he remained on the park, but he'll definitely sit out a couple of weeks at least there. Some of the injuries, there's a few coming out there. As we mentioned, the HIAs, I think they're probably the most crucial here. So let's go through a couple of them. So Cade Cuss for Manly, he failed his HIA. So did Adam Reynolds in the same game, and Jackson Paulo. Nathan Cleary on Saturday afternoon, he was cleared of his HIA. He did leave the field with about 10 to go, did pass his HIA, but he'll face a pretty tough round of protocol to get through and play. I think it's quite early in the round there. I'll just bring it up here, but he's got a very short turnaround before his next game there, which puts him into a fair bit of doubt. So whether or not they get the likes of Matt Burton in, maybe Tyrone May, who knows, but Nathan Cleary looks very much touch and go. Thursday night, in fact, against the Storm. Wow, that's a huge game. They're very likely to want to push to get him on the park as soon as they can, but you cannot rush that sort of stuff there. Matto, obviously, as we mentioned there, nasty little head knock there, woken up with a headache the morning after, which NRL physio reliably informed us can be the case sometimes, those delayed symptoms. So despite looking pretty good in the post-match sheds after their big win there, he's struggled the morning after. So they've got a Saturday afternoon game, so he's got about 9 days to make that turnaround. But with that history he's got with nasty concussions there, I would be very surprised that they rush him back. It's definitely in the headlines and definitely something people will be looking at there. Outside of HIAs, let's go through the other injuries. We've got CHT. He was seen in a moon boot post-game, so he looks 1 to 2 games with some sort of foot or ankle injury there. Andrew Davey, horrible news for Manly there, and also Andrew Davey just can't get a go in this game here. Unfortunately, an ACL looks to have him out for at least 6 months. Horrible news for the Seagulls, horrible news for Davey, who is very much talked about as a potential option in Supercoach. He's got a great attacking game. And even in his first, I think it was 5 minutes he was out there for, unfortunately, looked pretty good. So horrible news for Manly. All the best for Davey in his recovery there. Appy Coruscant, he was ruled out midweek. So he's got a broken wrist. He's 6 weeks on the sideline there. So huge blow for Penrith. Despite the fact they didn't need him on the day there, Appy will see some time on the sideline there. Mitch Kenny was his replacement. So interesting proposition there for an 80-minute hooker. For Tyler Mariner, he had a bit of a calf issue there. He should be right to go for next week, but they did rest him during the game. Corey Waddell got quite a few minutes as a result. Wonga Blake, calf issue for him. He was scratched pre-game. He looks about one month on the sideline there, 3 to 4 weeks. So he could be, a big out for them. Bailey Sirenin, shoulder, he'd had it in the sling again post-game with CHT. He was at a wedding or something like that. I think physio was all over it. He, I think, is just a precaution at this stage. Should be right to go. James Roberts, again, a pre-game scratching shoulder issue for him. So possibly just the 1 week on the sidelines. Hopefully for the Tigers, they get him back on deck. And then some guys that are coming back. So Harry Grant, he's still not due back until round six. They're definitely taking their time with him, making sure that everything is all good. And Victor Radley, thankfully for the Roosters, they're running out of troops there trying to fill in. So he's due back next week. So they did have Freddie Lussick filling in there today. So with Victor Radley back, you'd imagine he slots into the vacant hooker role with Jake Friend out. So a bit of cavalry returning for the Chooks there. Hopefully Angus Crichton makes it back as well sooner rather than later. He should just be the 1 week this week. But fingers crossed, Teamless Tuesday doesn't throw up any surprises. Game by game, let's go through them all 8 games for the round. Started on Thursday night in a bit of a scrappy affair. The rain, as it did with a lot of these games, played a bit of a part in this one here. But the Eels, shock winners over the Storm, 16-12. If we look at the tail of the tape here, Junior Paulo found the line yet again, so 2 tries in 2 games for him. He's playing almost 60 minutes a game, which is around 5 minutes per game more than the last 2 seasons. So he's always been on the bubble there. He's in interesting kind of character. He gets a fair bit of work done out there, can find the line, but it's always sort of been those minutes. He's just not quite at that upper echelon just yet. And again, the try would have inflated this here, but you can't sort of argue with results like that. Although people would be wary trying to buy into these sort of guys, given Daniel Saifidi, who we'll talk about later, did regress a little bit after getting an early 100-plus last week. For Para as well, Reid Marnie. He made fools of the banner this week. He didn't quite go the ton as he did last week, but he will make a stack of cash over the next week with a 77 pre-updates, as it is for all of these scores here. Courtesy of another TS, I believe that was to Junior Paulo as well. Another 80-minute game, so huge showing from him. He's a little more expensive than the likes of Jaden Brayley, Mitch Kenny, who we mentioned is Appy Coruscant's 80-minute replacement. So a bit of interest around Reid Marnie there. He's had two good games in a row, but he's hasn't got a big history of hugely consistent Supercoach scores. So keep an eye on him. He's definitely started the year on fire and will make some early cash. So if you can squeeze him in, definitely looks a decent shout based on early form. Another one who's a decent shout, Isaiah Papali, 55 minutes with Maddo's injury. Did very well again. So last week he came on probably one of the Parramatta's best players. Wouldn't say turned the game, but definitely put a good showing on there. He ended up with 59 points. So definitely a good showing in around about the same minutes. So getting some good time off the bench there, injury assisted as it may be, but still putting his hand up for a permanent spot on that roster there. Who else we got? Mike Asivo, it was his turn. So last week he was one of the big flops of the week there. Just couldn't get anything going along with Wonga Blake, and it was Fergo down on the right edge there that was just flying, setting up tries, scoring some. It was all Fergo, but this week all Sivo. So taking it in turn. So Sivo scored the match winner, fielding those bombs. Poor old George Jennings is going to have nightmares for a while there. But Sivo couldn't keep him away, couldn't keep him out of the action for long there. Two tries and just a 77, so no line breaks in that score there. But looking definitely a lot better than he did last week there. And as we said, it was Fergo's turn last week, wasn't this week. He got a 25, so might have stung a few people if you brought him in as a, hoping that he would build on that early round one form, but not to be there. Similarly, flopping in a way is Nathan Brown and Mitch Moses. So Brown, again, struggling for minutes and input out there. And Mitch Moses, as Timmy mentioned last week, he's the David Warner of the NRL. He's a flat track bully. He when the going's good, he might play off the back of it. But in a grinding sort of game, he's definitely often nowhere to be found. So again, Mitch Moses, they both scored under 50 pre-updates. For the Storm, Christian Welsh, 66 points from 50 minutes, almost all base. So didn't get those attacking stats that he might have gotten last year that sort of inflated his scores a bit there. But not great minutes, but geez, you can't argue with those points there. Hopefully you didn't rage trade him after a quiet-ish 50-odd last week, but he was definitely great for them there. Definitely looked a bit gassed as well, so might have just needed that run in the legs, bit of juice in the tank. Cam Munster, 55, no attacking stats outside a couple of forced dropouts. So it was definitely one of those wet weather games where not a lot from the halves was getting working, and the kicking game needed to be on point here. Had a couple of good ones there to boost those scores, but like he normally does, despite only going, it's mid-range, I would say, for him. But he doesn't often go below that. He'll often hit these 45 to 55s in a game where he doesn't really do much, which as a half you can always accept and move on to the next week, because he'll probably, after a loss, it's definitely the Storm's time to turn around. Brandon Smith, unfortunately, hasn't kicked on despite getting the number 9 jersey with Harry Grant out. 48 here, doesn't seem to be worth that money despite 70 minutes in the game. He's a big stint on the park there for B. Smith, but not getting the job done. Did cop a spray from Cam Munster during the game as well for a wayward pass. So I think they went on to score a try in that play. So it's an unusual sight there, but they have very high standards at the Storm there. As we mentioned, Maddo, 36, very quiet in the first half before the concussion, I should say. So we're still going to gear up to that 60-plus as he always does there, but unfortunately got robbed of that last sort of half hour there. Alrighty, next game. Knights getting the job done against the Warriors, 20-16 here. Was watching this one in the Valley with Wennon. It was pretty good viewing there. Had a few Knights fans around, a few Knights tippers. I did not go the Knights again. They've ruined me 2 weeks in a row. Jaden Brayley, speaking of being ruined, Jaden Brayley, and honestly, this guy, 80 minutes. He's had a horrible history with injury, but again, just getting time on the park there. He's doing the job. 86 following on from an 84 last week. This one includes a try and 53 tackles. Huge. 356K. Could be a great get if he can stay injury-free. And I think that's unfortunately always the question mark with him. A lot of people have either gone early with him or even got him in last week. So if you've managed to do that, he has delivered more than enough for you there. That's fantastic output for him. Good to see for Jaden Brayley. Hopefully, for anyone that owns him, he can keep that up there. You'd almost need to move. So we talked about Reed Marnie earlier. Mitch Kenny as well, Appy Coruscant's replacement, around that same price mark. You just need to move Connor Watson somewhere. Maybe it's to Moylan, who had a bit of a stinker, as we'll get to later in the pod. But, yeah, you need to sort of move that little Watson combination that a lot of people have started with. So you need to find some room there. So they're definitely hitting their straps pretty early, which is good to see for them. Mitch Barnett, 83. Following on from his ton last week, he did get 16 points from goals. So you take them away, and it's still a very decent score at 65+. So 80-minute second rower. Without Ponga there, he's been given the kicking duties, but you'd imagine the way he's striking them, I think he's had one miss, if that, in his last two games. So the way he's striking them just seems to be, if Ponga's back and he's still got some niggling injuries, he might just keep this kicking tee for a bit longer than we all thought. So if that's the case and the Knights continue their pretty good early season form there, he could be a great shout. For the Knights as well, Daniel Saifidi, as we said, regressed a little bit here. He did get a double last week. That wasn't going to continue. We all know that. But unfortunately, didn't get quite the minutes we would have hoped for any owners there. 50 minutes and just 43 points. So very quiet, despite it being a pretty rough and tumble old sort of game there. Connor Watson, 50 minutes off the bench. It's that late swap that always gets us. So this at least, and like it was last week, was the Friday 6 p.m. game. So at least we know Connor Watson's going to be on the bench, and it definitely just makes it difficult to play him. I've taken him out again, actually put Fusatua in for him instead. I thought maybe the Fus can jag a try. He didn't. So I lost about 13-odd points there, but Connor Watson got a 39 in around 50. So no try assist this week. Can't be too harsh on that one there, but yeah, just don't like seeing that constant bench shifting. I just want to see a full starting game from him there. As we said, the Fuss, just 24 points. I don't know what's doing there. I don't know why I even bothered, but played him 2 weeks in a row now and definitely on the chopping block. One tackle bust in 17 runs. So very poor return from a guy that we know can do some good things out there. He does rely heavily on his try scoring. So without those, which he hasn't had the last 2 weeks, he's gone very, very poorly. Speaking of poor, CHT, quiet yet again, as we said, picked up a bit of a foot issue there, ankle problem. So he just scored the 30, similar to last week. Might be out depending on how the scans go. Could be 1 to 2 weeks there. So not a great start for anyone that went with CHT. Tohu, he had a pretty inflated score of 75 with a try assist and line break assist in the second half. Plenty of edge, but again, getting 80 minutes. So he's a very interesting character. I could only have him if he was playing lock and in the middle, basically full time. But you can't argue with results there. Try assist, line break assist, that's definitely handy. AFB, Fanua Blake, he fell back a little bit, 57 last week to just 48 minutes here, speaking of minutes there, and didn't go great, so hit around that 50-odd mark. So AFB, you know, he's a bit of a volatile sort of character there, but without any attacking stats, sort of fell away. We'll take a quick break here and then come back to chat through Titans and Broncos and the rest of the round.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alrighty, Titans getting the job done, 28 over the Broncos, 16. So they pulled away in the end. It was some horrible defense on the Broncos line there from Tezzy New and Anthony Milford, so much so that Milford got moved mid-game to the other side of the field. Kevin Walters couldn't even sugarcoat it in the post-game press conference basically said it's a defensive decision that they made. So the fact you've got to hide a first grade playmaker on $1 million a year just says about everything you need to know about how the Broncos are going there. Not that my side is doing that much better, but whatever. Quality over quantity for Tevita Pangai Jr. so far this year. Just the 39 minutes last week and 51 here. So building a little bit and scored a try. 5 busts, 2 offloads, down from I think the 8 he got last week or 7. So definitely getting some work done out there. So with any luck, he builds on that 51 minutes. If he's getting around that 60-minute mark, geez, I don't think he will. I think he's more of that 50 to 55-minute player the way he's going, particularly playing through the middle there. But some of the stuff he does out there, you just kind of want that sort of X factor in your side there. So TPJ is definitely a bit of a pod play at this stage, and he's only, seeing red a bit too often to one sort of brain explosion, I should say, away from a suspension. So you've always got to be wary of that there. But for now, he's definitely getting the job done. Tezzy New, he finally, well, he was pretty good last week. He was steady, but an 81 here, courtesy of a brilliant try in the corner there, and probably could have had another. You had the ball stripped out of him over the line there, basically. And yeah, could have been a double and 100 plus for him, but definitely a welcome a return from him this week, given some of the duds we had in our center wing last week. So should be some good cash on its way for Tezzy. Good to see there. And hopefully you all played him. Definitely a decent matchup here against the Titans on a dry-ish track. So Tezzy getting the job done. Jermaine Asako will make a bit of a cash rise in the next week with a 59 here, but he's very error prone. A couple of big mistakes here as well. So he's, yeah, the 59's a handy enough super coach score, but geez, they'll need a bit more out of him. It's a full-time fullback there. And Jordan Rickey, another cheapie that we've got in our second row there, 63 points, handful of busts and a line break, and again, playing the full 80. So that's great signs for basically every super coach who has this guy in their side, which should be 100% of sides. But Jordan Rickey, very good return there, and makes you feel a little bit more comfortable with playing these sort of guys week to week in your 17, where you can see them rattling up scores like that. So hopefully a bit more confidence and he'll build into that role. Who else for the Bronx there? Well, Anthony Milford, we mentioned. I didn't want to call him the flopper of the week. I feel like that's basically just his award. It's got his name on it. He had a good week last week with a 69, well, but 11, back to bad old ways. He missed a couple of really crucial tackles on the line there. As we said, got shifted, kicked dead, 2 errors, a penalty conceded. It just was an awful time. And I really have doubts as to whether he'll actually get a run next week. He's always been close to the chopping block. Last year surely should have been time to sit him out, but it's very sad times indeed for the Broncos when you've got a $1 million player who might not even make the side week to week. Tom did and had a very good game by all reports earlier today, so in the Q Cup, so he looks really ready and raring to go for that first grade spot there. So I'd be very surprised Milford makes it back on the field. Sorry, Wilf. For the Titans, the biggest brother of all the Queensland sides this year. How good are they going? Well, at least 1-2 make 1-1, I should say, makes them higher than the 0-2 Cows and Bronx. David Fifita lit it up with 2 tries coming off, well, as we said, feeble defense by the Titans there. Great shout for the VC by Lakey on the pod this week, and on his captain's article, he called Fifita out as being a huge potential VC if you went that way. He's nearly gone the ton there. So fantastic stuff for anyone who's backed Fifita in early. 9 busts and 65 minutes. Definitely outpointed Tino F for Asu Malawi. So Tino F had just over the 50-minute mark and got a very low 36. He's got 7 missed tackles credited on the NRL app. So Supercoach seems to have gone a little light on him. I think he only had the 3 or 4, but could lose even more points if they're not feeling too kind tonight or tomorrow morning whenever they do these updates. But Tino F, very quiet game from him. So he did shakily enough last week, got rattled a few times with some big hits, but hopefully builds into his added responsibility at the Titans this year. Jamal Fogarty bounced back somewhat with a 56, 14 points from goals and a try assist, line break assist. So good to see him on the board with some attacking stats there. Still got the goal kick and tee. So definitely a handy return. If you've gone him over CHT, you're happy there with that effort there. Yeah, that's probably all Broncos fans want to hear about that debacle Friday night. Bulldogs fans won't want to be talking about this one either. Penrith 28 defeating the Dogs 0 in a pretty scrappy old affair. Took a while for the Panthers to really click in this one, but once they did, they pulled away as they did last week as well against my boys. Billy Army Kickow, he could have been Shocker of the Week. He could have been Rocker of the Week. I have no idea what to make of this guy. He's an enigma. He's an absolute enigma. He got, 40, 50 minutes last week, barely scored anything, comes out this week against the Dogs and is unstoppable. 126 points, 2 tries. I just don't get it. 65 minutes, way higher than some games he got last year and last week as well. So I cannot get a read on him. He's a draft guy. Like, he's too hard to trust week to week, head to head. He'll probably come out next week and get a 40 in 40 minutes. It'll just be something like that. They'll rest him. And who knows, maybe it'll be Kurt Capewell, who was given an early shower with 49 minutes of the game gone. Didn't come back onto the field. Don't think it was injury related. He just didn't get a run on. I don't think they really needed him to close that game out. So Kurt Capewell, not a great return. He's in the 30s pre-updates. So owners would be wanting a bit more out of him. I did warn a few people last week not to read too much into that game. I thought he was very quiet. He did get the early try, but outside of that, not a lot of work out on that edge there. But again, he's playing in the Panthers side. So the Panthers are going to score a lot of points this year. Capewell will be on the end of quite a few of those. So, you know, like Kickout could be back next week and obviously a hell of a lot cheaper. So you can trust him a little bit more there. Fisher Harris, well, he was my go-to guy in the preseason. I thought he was in for a big year. He's gone 61 again, which is handy enough. He's in the 60s, but it's just not. I'm looking around at the guys like Junior Paulo, even Daniel Saifidi last week. A lot of these guys here that are doing so much better in that front row spot there. Fisher Harris, I can't complain too much, but again, I want to see some more offloads. I want to see some busts. 51 minutes is not great. I was hoping for more than that, given some of the low minute players they've got around him, but not doing a hell of a lot out there, hoping for more from him. Speaking of doing a lot more though, as we mentioned, Mitch Kenny, he should now get an extended run in the side with Appy out. He got 80 minutes here for 57. That did include tries his line break assist. So without those, the base gets pretty poor there. But 311K, so he's cheaper than Brayley and Marnie, who are both going to make a stack of cash. Kenny only playing the one game. He's going to take a couple more weeks to get that first price rise here. So interesting prospect there. He will get a month and a half, but again, well, not again, I haven't said it, but Appy Korosau, he's a very fast healer, as Ivan Cleary came out and said earlier in the week there. So we know Appy came back very early last year from a pretty nasty looking elbow injury, so could do the same there with that wrist fracture. But who knows? So 6 weeks is the quote for now. Mitch Kenny, very much a pod play there, but he is a bit cheaper if you're struggling for some cash generation there. For the pennies, Momorowski, double late in the game there. So stealing Charlie Staines' points. Unfortunately, just not getting enough ball out there when you got Momorowski diving in to score tries and even going in infield to nab one as well. So it was, yeah, Mommy getting the job done there for the pennies. Brian To'o, he was pretty handy with 50 points in basically all base. So 40 points in hit-ups alone. So that's huge. When a guy like him doesn't score a try, you'd really hope that floor lifts there. And Brian To'o just getting so much work done. You compare that 9 runs from Charlie Staines versus 40 points in hit-ups from To'o. It's an incredible disparity there. So To'o definitely looks to be getting a lot more work done out there. Speaking of work done, Spencer Lemieux, he was very busy in his 31 minutes, keeping up that pretty solid points per minute ratio with 39 points from him pre-update. So hopefully gets a few more hit-up points and that sort of thing and bumps his score up there. But very, very good value from a very cheap player there. And some of the other cream rose to the top over the weekend as well. Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, 89 and 75 respectively. They just keep going the double act. So it's one of those rare times when halves in the same side can seem to go big when the other does as well. So it doesn't seem to hold either of them back. But it's Luai, it's Jerome Luai that's looking the more creative of the two this year. So just about everything this bloke does seems to be going down his side. He seems to be pulling tri-assists out of his backside. And Nathan Cleary's just there to convert him. So thankfully he's got that kick and tee. Otherwise Cleary, he'd be back in those doldrums of 50 and 60 without those goal kicking points. So thankfully enough, he's there converting. But Nathan Cleary, who knows, could be his turn next week. He did get the updates last week to take him to that ton, but Nathan Cleary got outdone by Luai here. I'm really liking what Luai's doing. So if you've gone the double, you're absolutely cheering there. For the Dogs, not a lot of Supercoach relevance here, but Josh Jackson, he was a very much talked about player as starting in the lock position earlier from round one. So he got 80 minutes at lock here, 60 tackles, zero misses. So he's stalwart of the side here. No nonsense, gets the work done. 75 points in basically all bases. Pretty massive there. Once he gets some runs under his belt, it might help him a bit. But 80 minutes at lock is huge. Other than that, though, the Ogden and Hetherington front row forward combination for the Dogs hasn't quite gone to plan if you went either of them early days. It's a sort of mid-range slash cheapy option at your front row there. They haven't delivered. They're not getting minutes, and they also don't get a lot done out there. So, unfortunately, not the best, but they give you an easy trade-out option this week if you've still got them floating around. And Jake Averillo had a bit of a stinker just not getting anything done. South 26 finally got the job done over Manly 12. It took a while, like it did for Penrith, to really break away in this game here, but once they did, you could see the difference in class there. Wild old game from Latrell Mitchell. Lazy Latrell here. A try assist, sideline conversions, two linebreak assists, a sin bin. Finished on 72, and it was a contentious sin bin as well. So looked like he just clipped old mate running through for the try there. DCE, bit of a dive act there, I thought, but enough for Latrell to get 10 minutes on the sidelines there. What could have been if Latrell had stayed out there? But he was credited with a couple of line break assists and one try assist early in the game as well. Could have gone to Latrell. Should have gone to Cody Walker as a Cody Walker owner. But they've gone to Latrell. Quick hands from him. He looked very much settled in on that that left edge for the Bunnies. So he's doing some good things early doors as well. Speaking of, Damien Cook, he was one of the floppers of the week last week. He's, 36 last week compared to 105 points. Back to his running best. He was killing it over the weekend. They're challenged by a fair few in the media to make more runs out there, do more things. We know what he can do. He's a creative player. He's a dangerous player at a dummy half, but he's just not taking the hit-ups he used to. Not the case in this game here. He had a try, five busts, two line breaks, and also a try saver on Jason Saab. So I think they got about three mentions out of his whole beach sprinting career once he did that there. So they all always love throwing that the old beach sprinter out for Damien Cook there. So he was killing it on Saturday. You can't keep a good player like him down for long. Again, they'll be worried. Supercoaches will be worried about that 36, but geez, when he is on, he is very much on. For the Bunnies as well, Cam Murray, he could only score in the 60s by playing 80 minutes. Doesn't often get these big minute games from him. So a bit of he was quiet-ish out there, but still, 60 minutes, you can't argue too much there. But I think the guy that's taken a bit of shine off and a guy that a lot of people are looking at now, Jai Arrow. Big minutes, a big score in relatively limited minutes, 51. It's still a very handy stint on the park there. And again, basically all base. So we know he loves an offload. We know he can bust tackles, but he's getting the job done with tackles and hit-ups. So really just hard to argue with the results at the moment. I think it's just the fact he's got that orange tick against his name every week for Supercoaches that makes him a little bit less enticing as a play each week. But again, he did it last week. He's done it again. So very much an interesting play here. As we said, Cody Walker, he did get involved in some plays down the edge there. One of them led to his own try. One of them was one sweeping backline play he was involved in. Only got the TC for the backline play and didn't get the LA for his own try. So could have gone either way, but it's gone to Latrell at least pre-updates there. So he falls on just 39. So Cody started the game with a try. He was on about 25, I think, for a long time. Scraped his way to 39 with that TC and a few other bits and pieces, but a few runs here and there. But again, just very quiet. Very much a Munster kind of game. Has that one or two explosive bits of play and then just goes quiet afterwards. So unfortunately, looked like a really big arvo for him. Fell away, not to be, but anyway, he shall be back. Jason Saab saved his best for the year. He saved his score with a line break of a kick in the second half. So got fed the ball by Dylan Walker there, broke right through and then got run down by Damien Cook. As we said, the beach sprinter. Zero tackles made, three missed. So not a good ratio for Big Sabi there, but hopefully he can build on that. No errors this week. I think that's the crucial thing. Hopefully that's what Des Hazza wants to see. And 11 runs, which isn't the worst, but geez, you're not going to play this guy week to week unless they're coming up against a Cowboys or Broncos. And finally, the flop of this game here for mine, Campbell Graham. 26 points. Had high hopes for him this year. He was a bit of a pod last year with some big scores. Found the line at ease in that final 2-3 months for the Bunnies. This year, he's just started very slowly, not getting a lot of ball out there. Flopped again at 26. It's not ideal. Horrible game here. Dragons 25, defeating the Cowboys 18. I shouldn't say that because it actually was a very entertaining game. A lot of people wrote it off early in the week. It's definitely a wooden spoon off. Neither side is going to feature too heavily in the finals, you would imagine, but they definitely put on a show there. It was if you were a neutral and watching this game, it was scrappy, but it had a bit of everything here. So not to be for my team. It was a tough old watch, a lot of first tackle errors. But anyway, we move on. As we said at the top, shocker of the week is Ben Hunt, finally an option. So never really been relevant for the last 3 or 4 years. I'd say that 2015 year, he was kind of in the mix there. Great, consistent player. Followed on from a 74 last week to notch up 114. Heap of attacking stats, as we said. It again was against a pretty poor side. It was against the Sharks last week, who aren't flash hot. But again, it's two good games in a row here, and he's running. He's linking with some of his outside men. He's finding gaps in the defensive line. He just looks a different player to what we've seen in previous years. So he's available at halfback and hooker, 450-odd K. So a bit of a tough price to just sort of squeeze him in at ease there. But for what he's shown over the last couple of weeks, it could be time for him to turn a corner. So very interested to see how his next month winds up. But tough old job trying to squeeze him into your side there with much faith. No one else in this game really stood out, so very low scores all round. Daniel Alvaro had some good touches out there, 66 points from 49 minutes. So, again, big stint from him. A couple of good saves on the line there from him. He was pretty handy out there. Just the 46 minutes for Fui Maono, who played mostly through the middle this week. He got 41 points, had some handy upgrades last week. So, for a guy in the 250-odd K mark, hitting these 40s and 50 like he did last week, they're going to make some cash for him. And he's doing enough there to warrant some price rises. Last year, parked on the edge, doing nothing. This year, he's all through the middle there, making tackles, making some good runs. I think one error on Saturday night there, but Fui definitely getting the job done. Any increase in minutes there, and he could be a genuine play. So I've written him off, but I think you've got to ignore maybe last year being parked on that edge. Having him through the middle gets him so much more involved, and he's doing the job there for them. A little bit of talk about Corey Jensen. He was a cheapy front row forward for the Cows, provided a pretty wild offload that ended up leading to a Val Holmes solo effort try there, but couple of crucial errors there. I think he's going to find himself. He's always been in and around that team. Tends to get chopped at the slightest, well, the drop of the ball. So unfortunately for Corey, that could be the case here. Someone's going to get lined up and booted from this side, I'd imagine, if not a few players, and I think it could be the likes of Corey Jensen. So if you went for him, you would have liked the offload, but some of those effing errors, yeah. I don't want to speak anymore about it. Tigers and the Roosters, talk about Supercoach scoring in this game in the wet. So all the talk during the week and the weekend was about, do we trust some players in the wet, like the Tedescos and like, you absolutely do, because whatever it was, maybe it made him harder to tackle. Luke Keary, we mentioned, Rocker of the Week, 132, had every stat in the book. BMOS, 131. This guy is, I don't know what he's doing. He's drinking the blood of the young. I don't know what it is. He's, for whatever reason, just keeps churning it out. So he was lethal down on that edge there, setting up tries, scoring some of his own. He was fantastic. So highly priced. He's the second highest priced centre wing in the game. No one was looking at this guy. It was the Nofaluma or someone around that mark there. But BMOS, if you've got this guy in early doors, you are absolutely cheering. Well done to you. If you do. Tedesco, 107 points. He was just involved in basically everything the Chooks were doing out there. Everything seemed to go through him, and he just hates being tackled. He just hates it. Tupanua, 89 points, including a try, and he looked very dangerous. Could have gotten a few more the way he was charging at that line there. He has been a great shout. Did get called out in last week's pod because I said he was playing on Crichton's side. That's not the case. He's actually playing on the Boyd Cordner edge. So definitely getting some good touches there. He's been in very good form to start the year. Bit of question marks over his work rate. Based on some of his scores last year, but the tries and the attacking stats he's getting there, it's got to come in this Chook side. They're putting huge points on early doors against some not so great opposition, but geez, you kind of want a piece of a lot of these players in there, and Tupanua is a relatively mid-range sort of price. Only blight for the Chooks, anyone you've owned in this game, if you own Lachlan Lamb, notching just 36 points in another rout. It's a very worrying sign for any owners there who've stuck him into their halves. He got a try assist in this game. I think it was from a kick, but outside of that, very uninvolved. And it's, again, just going all through Teddy or going through Keary. So Lachlan Lamb seems to be surplus to requirements there. And the other guy, though, not surplus to requirements, a very shrewd pickup if you've got him, 411K, Lindsay Collins. Front row forward now, new Origin rep, 75 points here, including a try assist, line break assist. So he looked, he was even throwing bloody cutout balls to put players over on the wing. It was a pretty handy game from him. 63 last week, so getting some good minutes. Anyway, he's taken over from JWH Hargraves, who's riding the pine. So that shows how much faith they're putting in this guy. And at a pretty reasonable price there, he's got a bit of room to grow there. For the Tigers, how good does Dane Laurie look? Two line breaks, eight busts. Timmy, the Tiger, who I watched the game with today, said early days to Desco, which is a pretty huge wrap. I think it was more so he's going to kill it and then leave the Tigers. But yeah, other than that, to be compared to a guy like Tedesco. And if you looked at some of his runs, he also like Tedesco, just didn't want to be tackled. He's finding ways through the line. He's getting line breaks against a very quality opposition. So hopefully with a dry track and a bit more work being done around him, a guy like Dane Laurie can really capitalize. But for now, sticking him into our center wing has paid off. It's everyone's got him. But again, seeing some of these scores and the way he was running, he's got a lot of super coach potential. It is fantastic to see. Last game of the round. I will say I didn't actually see this game here. Unlike Kirkup, I did manage to watch quite a few of these here. But this one, I was out on the town drinking a few margaritas earlier this evening. So had some nice Mexican there and just got some score updates coming in. Did see Bailey Simonson, my one player in this game, was flying off early days. He got a line break. He was on about 25 through maybe 10, 15 minutes and then finished the game with 39. So, yeah, thank you very much. Very Cody Walker-esque, that one there. So, anyway, he got me over the 1,000 marks. I can't hate on him too much there, but decent enough score from a center wing. But again, very scrappy-looking game here. Haven't watched the highlights. Hudson Young, 76. He was the top scorer here, which includes a try assist. So, good to see Hudson there. He has been called out as picking up a minor knee complaint, I think it was. So, hopefully nothing too serious there because he did play the 80 minutes out. But 76 points there from a bit of a young gun. He's definitely ticking all the boxes to start the year here. A couple of guys, well, the other good one here, Ryan James, 58 points in 41 minutes. I have to say I was wrong. I'll call myself out. I was wrong there. I did say he's that awkward price. He's not going to get minutes. He's back from a very long stint on the sidelines there, but he has been off to an absolute tear. So good to see. I really hope it keeps up for him. He seems to be one of the good guys in the NRL and for the Raiders anyway. The way he's stepped into the side there and the way he's playing, it seems to be that it's going to be very tough for the Horsburgh to make his way back into the side because how do you drop a guy doing the sort of things he's doing here? Three busts, a line break, 40-odd minutes. It's great time for him out on that field. Got a try last week, which helped as well. But geez, doing all the right things there. Going to make a stack of cash early days, which is fantastic for any owners. It's almost like you've got to pull the trigger if you like me and haven't got him in to start the season. So that is how good he's gone. Great stuff, RJ. Not so great stuff. A couple of other scores here. Hodgson, 50, including a try assist, line break assist, despite playing 80 minutes. So again, just no base. It's a strange old one for him. He's always been a creative player, but he has always gotten those sort of tackle stats. But for whatever reason, he's sort of hiding in the line, obviously a preservation kind of thing, I guess. But Hodgson, 50, including a TS line break assist, not great there. Not great as well for Joe Tarpany. He fell back after 100 last week, 46 from 41 minutes. Could be a few updates in there for him. Not great as well. Matt Moylan, 2 errors, 6 missed tackles. So back to the bad old ways of, Matty Moylan there. At least he's gotten through 2 games unscathed, but 17 points. Hopefully you weren't hoping for a Hail Mary from Matty Moylan to close out your week there, but that was not ideal. That was probably it in terms of super coach relevance for that Sharks there. So we're through. It was an interesting old round. There's a lot of big scores from some usual suspects there, the Clearys and the Tedescos and the like, but across the board, there weren't that many hugely surprising ones. A lot of big scores last week. It was a dry track. It was all that round one defense falling off, players getting tired, so maybe we're not going to see those regular 1,200 plus scores that we used to, or maybe it was just the wet weather. But whatever it was some pretty good football. Unfortunately, my own team is 0-2, but we'll be back. We'll be back to live and fight another day. And of course, I'll be back this Tuesday with our boy Lakey to go through all the Teamless Tuesday. And then the Wednesday, we'll have the pod there with trades. Everything will be on the site there. The People's Team, I didn't mention at the start, but I think Wenen might have had a little bit of a faux pas on Friday night. Might have had a bit too many shandies and might have stuffed up a trade or two, but we'll see. He'll have to own up to that there. The People's Team should be back. But nonetheless, it's JT here for a round 2 Sunday report. Been a good week. Hope you've had a great one, and we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.